you're listening to the message today, let an ear be open to the Holy Spirit. What would he say for you to sow into the ministry that our brother and sister are going to be stepping out? They're coming to us. Jared was saved here. Got some rust still behind his ears from the baptism tank behind us when he got baptized here. And God just set a fire in his heart, and it's been burning on the West Coast. It's burning here. We've had some great meetings, but Tuesday they're jumping on a plane and heading east, wherever that leads them. Europe, Asia, going to do some work in India. And they left great jobs. God spoke to them, and they're leaving. They're being obedient. So as the body of Christ, for those who are here, who do have jobs, who do have resources, who haven't been so uprooted as they've been, it's on us to sustain and to support and to believe God to speak to us about how and how much to be a part of what they're doing. With the substance, the kingdom is all one thing. Finances is not one thing, and spiritual things are another thing. It's all one thing. And that's why we trust the Holy Spirit to speak to people about what level of generosity you ought to be a part of what we're doing. But Jared's part of us here. This is his church family. It's a privilege for us to have his voice with us. He's not coming in as someone from the outside to speak to us. He's coming as one of us, born up under the anointing that just rests in this place. And I just know that it's God himself who can call and empower and also provide for someone when they feel that call to go and to be sent to a part of the world where, you know, working a 9-to-5 and getting a paycheck is not going to be part of their immediate lives for the next couple of years at least. So let's get behind them. Let's make sure that they feel that substance behind them. But we're not going to pause at the end and have a separate offering. So I'm just trusting you now. Be listening. And when you give at the end, make sure that it's with what the Holy Spirit's shown you to do. All right. Is that fair enough? Okay. All right. Good. Well, come on up here. Get this thing out of my hands and say what the Lord's giving you to say, my brother. We love you guys.
Thanks, brother. Love you, man. I'm going to use a mic real fast, if that's all right. I'm going to use two mics because my voice is so quiet. Ah. No, I'm actually, before I get going, I want to invite my wife up. Thank you guys so much for giving us an opportunity to share again before we head overseas. And it's been awesome. I've been having a blast. So I'm going to call my wife up here to tell you what's actually going on because I messed it up last service. So here you go.
I'm just his wife. I don't have a name. And so.
I just call her my wife.
Charlene Renee Parisi. No. Dorsh. But when I was little, for some of it, you may know me, may not, but my parents, I thought they were here. Oh. Sitting in the way back, I was brought up on the mission field by them, with them, and so traveled all over the world. And as I was sitting here praying, I was going to read a scripture that God gave me last week for a church that we were in. But he said, bring it back to what you grew up with. And so my parents would often call me up, make me sing a song or whatever. But my dad would also say, what's your favorite scripture? And that was so ringing in my ears today, and it's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and that is kind of our heartbeat for what we're stepping out into, and it's been a dream of mine since I was 3 or 4 years old. Someone, a pastor that I had in Texas, actually laughed at me. He's like, you can't have known what you wanted to do when you were 3 or 4 years old, and I was like, are you a pastor? But you could have asked me then, and I would have said, I want to be a missionary. I want to go into the world, preach the gospel. I love seeing new cultures. I love meeting new people. And most importantly, God's given me a heart to bring hope to the hopeless. And so that's what we're doing. We're finally getting to do it. I never thought in a million years that I would ever, live in America as long as I have, since I was 18 on, I've been here, or marry an American, to be honest.
I'm from Kansas. I served in the military. I couldn't be more American.
Yeah. So we're finally, God's said in a scripture, it says to serve another man's vision until God gives you the fulfillment of your own. And so this has been brewing in me for the last 10 years. No, I'm just kidding. Since I was three, so many years, and God's finally launched us out, and we cannot be more excited. We're going, we've just come up with a name. My husband and I, when we were here, we just got married and then had a miscarriage. We named our baby Yumi, U-M-I, which means life in Egyptian. And so that's the name of our ministry. It's Yumi International. And we're stepping out, and we're going to be in England on Wednesday. We leave on Tuesday, and then we have week-long meetings there, and then we're going to be in Germany, and then maybe Italy, and then in the late spring, India, where we're going to be looking at planting a church, building a church, and then future in that area, building an orphanage. And then we're also going to be speaking at a big Bible college that's there in the same area in northern India. So we so covet your prayers and your support for us here. And we're just so thankful and grateful to be here with you today.
Amen. Amen. Never say never in the Lord. Amen. I'm not gonna marry an American. Don't threaten me with a good time. Ah! I get all excited. Pardon me. I'm excited to be here because today's today. Tomorrow hasn't come yet, so I might as well be excited right now. You know, I think so oftentimes we get distracted by tomorrow that we can't even see today right in front of us. You know what I mean? We have all these plans and these ideas, and even for us, like we knew God had called us, so we left our jobs and left the ministry there under Matthew Barnett and the Dream Center and at Echo Park and in the streets of L.A. And super blessed. They sent us out. They prayed us out. But God told us to finish strong. So that's what we did. Like, I couldn't even pray about what was to come. It was just funny. And it's just the reality of the fact that you can't live for tomorrow. Today is all you have. And to be quite honest, you're not even promised the fullness of today. Every moment that you live is a gift of God. Literally, every second there's breath in your natural lungs is a gift. And I know we got the gift, eternal life, that gift in God, which is, yeah. Yeah, I'm already getting excited. We're in trouble. First service, it took a minute. I don't know. But we get this gift. It's called life. God sent his son to pay for our unrighteousness, our sin, our dirt, our filth, our days. I don't know about you. I haven't figured out how to be perfect every day yet. My wife reminds me of that all the time. I'm just being honest, right? Like, I haven't figured out this whole walking perfectly every day. Now, I have days that I feel like, hey, man, I did a pretty good job here. I don't think there's any sin that I did. I feel like I love my wife good and cared for the people around me as best I could. But then there's days that you're going to bed and you're like, yeah, that we'll chalk that one up for not my best, right? You know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like I'm stupid. But I'm just saying, every day is a gift. We leave Tuesday super excited. I still got today. And then I got tomorrow, if the Lord wills it. And then I got Tuesday, which I believe he wills it because he called us. So we said yes to going, so I better have Tuesday. But it's just the complacency of the way we think. That's all I'm saying. Right, the devil, I said at first service, but the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You're all sitting here, are you not? Are you destroyed? Are you dead? So what is he kill, stealing, and destroying in your life? The Bible talked about this one spot, one really difficult spot called your mind. But the battlefield is actually there. You'll never fight a circumstance. You'll never fight a storm. Storms are too big for you to fight, by the way. When's the last time you went outside in the middle of a blizzard and said, storm, stop? And it did. Now, God can whenever he feels like it. That's what Jesus did on the boat. Why am I over here? Jesus did that on the boat. Why? Because he has the all authority to do that. He can calm every storm and every wave. But if you notice, how am I there? Thank you, Jesus. I'm just trying to hear what he's saying. You're on a boat. Your life is a boat. It's a lifeboat. I was in the Navy. I don't know. It's years. Stupid. But your life is a boat. It is a lifeboat because that is your life. And Jesus is on your boat. And he knew, I guarantee you, when he was sleeping, he knew the storm was raging. He's God. He had the fullness of the Father in the Son. That was Jesus on earth manifest for us to pay for the things you and I couldn't pay for. And I'm not talking financial. Which some of you try to actually pay for love, and you try and buy it, and you try and make it happen in that respect, and that always comes back empty. Hello, you can't buy. They wrote a song. You can't buy me love. Oh, man, different song. Whatever. You can't buy love, though. It is a free gift. And your only ability to love someone else is a free gift to them. And your only ability to love somebody, not with your love, which would kill them, but with his love that will save their life, is through him in you. Jesus knew the storm was going on in the boat. He was sleeping because the storm didn't matter to him. If God willed it, he'd be dead. And if God didn't will it, he'd be alive. So why are you worried about your life? If he wills you to be gone tomorrow, you'll be gone tomorrow. If he wills you to be alive till you're 104 like my great-grandmother, you'll be 104. What is it to you, your life? He gave you his son to live a life for him, not for you. You'll be blessed in the life you live for him, I promise you that, but it's not the blessing you think. Sometimes it comes with stuff. That's why Paul said, I learned to abase and to abound, having much and having little. It didn't matter what he had. It was about who he was. And that's what Jesus did. He came so that you'd have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah! I love life. So I have fun. I'm a little bit weird. I'm crazy. Huh? So? I had a friend, he's like, you're a little weird sometimes. I'm like, yeah, I'm free, you're bound. What of it? I know what it's like to have feet stuck in the mud. I've been there, done that. Someday I'll write the book. No. But the reality is, you know what it's like to be stuck in the mud, so why don't you know how it is to be living free? That's what he came for. He knew the storm was going on around you, but he didn't care because he's with you. And then they freak out. We freak out. You freak out. I freak out sometimes. Lord, when God said go and we left, I have no idea. I have no clue what's going to happen tomorrow. We now have some plans the last 2 weeks. But I don't care. I've been on a ship. I was in the Navy. I was on a carrier. Big ship, big boat, crazy. But I still learned to sleep in the middle of the waves. Why? Because if it was supposed to happen, it's going to happen. And if it's not going to, it's not going to, as long as I'm walking after him. Because he directs the steps of the righteous. It says, seek first the kingdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Hello! 3 Proverbs 5 and 6, some of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. I try and live with it. What? And my password to a lot of things, yeah. I even worked at a data center. You'd think I'd be more creative than that? Nope. Bible verse. There we go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, which means stop trying to figure it out. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Well, right now, Lord, I'm here. I'm acknowledging you because right now I'd freak out if I didn't have him. I'm just being quite honest. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will guide, direct, different translations. Effectively, if you close your eyes and start to move your feet, they're going to land where they're supposed to land. You can't do that without faith, and you can't have faith without love. And so if you love the Father, you're going to exert faith. And if you exert faith, then he's going to guide you. So what are you worried about? Some of you came in here with fear. That song, Fear, I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear. I could feel shackles being broken off in the spiritual realm. You want to be free? Just smile. What's the world got on you? A bad day? A bad coworker? A bad moment? A tough decision? Ooh. Seriously, it's not that big of a deal. What is a big deal, though, is the position of your heart towards the Father. If your storm is bigger than your God, you don't know my God. So let me introduce you to him. His name is Jesus. He came so that I could be free and live a free life, free of sin, free of death, and have eternity with the Father in heaven where there will be no weeping, no tears, and a lot of joy. That's my God. My God is the God that when he says go, we leave, we say, yes, Lord, here we go. Don't know where I'm going. I have no idea. Did you know it was only a couple weeks ago England even opened up, but that's where we knew we were supposed to go? I'm real talk. Real story. Now there's connections just flowing in out of nowhere. We don't know what's going to happen. I have no clue what we're going to do, but I know one thing. Wherever I go, this is what I'm bringing with me. I packed it. See you later. Clothes, not worried about it. Food, not worried about it. Look, there ain't no shame in my game. If I got to go somewhere to get clothes I wouldn't normally get, I don't care. My wife does. She married me, though. She's under covenant with me, so she can't leave me. We're good. No matter how I dress. She may not like my dress all the time, but you know. Just saying. She likes it better when she dresses me vice when I dress me. Isn't that how we are? We like the way we dress ourselves, but when Jesus tries to clothe us with his righteousness, we don't always like how it looks. Because we want to dress, I got to look like this, because if I look like that, then the world will accept me. Then I can preach the gospel. Lunacy and crazy. If you don't look like him, forget preaching the gospel. If you care more about what you look like than what he looks like in you, forget it. I'm all fired up. I'm feeling all excited right now. I have a message for you. And it's called Jesus Christ. That's it. Done. Best sermon ever. Jesus came to save. Give your life to him. I'm out. So why aren't you all out? I'm not talking out of the room. I'm talking out of ourselves yet. We get so stuck in ourselves and the way we look and our image that we forget the image in which we were created in. You think he created you in your fleshly image to look like a fleshly world that's fallen by sin? No, he created you in a godly image that the fleshly image got attached to when sin entered the world because your flesh couldn't do the things to make him pleased enough. So he sent his son to die for you so that you could be born again of the spirit, not of the flesh. Then you could walk and live with him in eternity, regardless of the time frame of this mortal thing. That's the gospel. The good news is that you're already dead. Yeah! That's why at funerals we celebrate. There's a time of mourning. I get that. There is a time of mourning. Don't get me wrong. But we celebrate the life. And some of you just got to die. Some of you just got to die to your natural self. Somewhere I was reading earlier, I don't know. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. 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 I'll start singing. Reasonable service. Did you know your death is reasonable to the service? You can't be holy in your flesh. Come on, you tried that. That didn't work. And the ones that keep trying that still don't work, does it? It's weird how that works. It don't work. Why? Because you're called from the very beginning, from the moment that he created the earth. Before that, he thought of you and said, that's going to be one of my children. I've created them in my image. But he's always going to give you choice. Always gives you the option. Because unconditional love couldn't exist outside of choice. Think about it. If my man, if he had to love me, it wouldn't really be, it's slavery. You understand? It is forced upon him. He has to love me, not a choice of his. So I know that he loves me, but I don't really feel his love all the time because he kind of has to love me. So it's really kind of like a half love. It's almost empty love. It's like I have this container called love, and that's like where he goes, but it's not full. But when choice, right, if I give him the choice to love me and now he loves me, that thing, that love thing gets filled up. You understand what I'm saying? That's why he gave you free will. And then he gave you some stuff to do. And then he said, this is how you're going to do it. And then we want to deny the things that he said to do, and this is how you do it because we got saved. Thank you, Jesus. Yay, I'm free. No, this is a walking out. It's endurance. I have run the race. Paul said, I ran the race. My cup is emptied out. I got nothing left in me for what God has for me to do. I'm actually totally spent in the things of the spirit, not of the natural. Some of you carry natural tiredness. Tap into supernatural strength. I'm just being honest. Our schedule was crazy in LA. And I 4 hours a week, I'd teach these guys Bible class. There's only one teacher, it's him, but he used me to instruct the class effectively, right? And I would sometimes be absolutely tired, naturally just wiped. And I get like a 2-hour nap after working all night to go counsel and then go teach class. So I take my nap, and as I laid my head down, I said, Lord, just let it be supernatural rest that every hour is like 2. And then I'll wake up and I'll feel refreshed. And even if I didn't feel refreshed, the minute the gospel starts coming out of me, I feel like he's just... I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that charge that goes right. He knows. He knows. I know some guys that know. I know more of you know. I'm just saying. He's just so close to me. When you start to do what he's called you to do, which is to preach the gospel to all nations... that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you do that naturally? You can't. It's called the Spirit of God. It's called, when Josh is up here and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, it's called receiving that, opening your heart, receiving that, walking in that. That's all I did. I just received through his Spirit, his Word, and then I realized who I was, born of the Spirit. I've got the biggest Holy Spirit, and I've got a little less Spirit. That's my eternal identity. That's my created in his image identity. And I wasn't going to do this at service, but it's a poopy suit. So Some of you were here for the first service. I'm sorry, you get another dose of the poopy suit. So when I was in the Navy, we had these one-piece coveralls. It's these dark blue, Navy, hello, coveralls. They're light shining on me like genius, right? So it's this navy blue coverall, and it's got a zipper that goes down like that. And it's got, on this part, right, on your, mine had two chevrons because I was a second-class petty officer in the United States Navy. I was a nuclear machinist mate. That's what I did. I ran nuclear power plants. So for those of you who are uninformed, all carriers and submarines are ran by nuclear power in the U.S. Navy. I'm glowing. Anyway, I had two chevrons. That's my rank, okay? Bear with me. There is a point, I think. And then I had a name, my name, Dorsch. Right? Dorsch. D-O-R-S-C-H. If you get confused, it's like Porsche with a D and no E. Yep. And then on this side, it had U.S. Navy, UZNAVI, which stands for Never Again Volunteer Yourself. Navy. But so I'm, you, I, so you, I don't even know what I'm doing. Lord help me. So I have this poopy suit, and I'm wearing this thing, right, and you're in it, and you wear it, and that's what I wore to work because I didn't wear the normal uniforms because I was in the belly of the ship for forever. And, funny memories. I went 30 days at one point without seeing sunlight. And the only reason I'm saying that is because some of you have gone longer than 30 days without seeing the sun's light. Step into the sun. It's warm. It feels good. And it's like being at the beach. You just get to kind of lay there and bask in it. Like worship. That's what I'm doing when I'm worshiping. I'm basking in his glory. I'm basking in his light. I'm basking in the love of his son. That's why we come up here. I've never known to not come up front. It's weird to me not to, almost. Because I just want to be, not that they smell good. I mean, David Ray is always dressed to the nines. But, you know, I want to be, and it's not like there's more glory here than back there. It's just there's something that happens when you abandon yourself and just, maybe that's just me. I don't know. Amen. But I had this poopy suit that I wore in the Navy, and it's your life. You all have some sort of rank or your position, if you will, who you think you are. You're a clerk, you're an owner, you're a whatever. You have a position. That's your rank. You have a name. And where I had U.S. Navy, maybe yours says, I don't know, construction or quick check, homeless. Everything that you could see on the outside of me became the image that I tried to fulfill. And some of us get really tired because you always wear your poopy suit. There's a reason you get worn out. I can say that. That just popped in my head. That would have been funny, though. There's a reason it gets tired. Is because it's garbage. It's a poopy suit. Right? You understand what I'm saying? This flesh thing that you live and breathe in is a poopy suit. That's all. If you think it's more than that, it's really not. Beauty fades. Money comes and goes. But if you have a life and a hope that never fails, you don't need a poopy suit. So get out of it. You know how easy it was to take off my poopy suit? You know what that is? That's your identity. It's who you are, what you do, your position. Take it off. It means nothing. Your image of this earth means it's your image in him that matters. So all I had, if I had one, I would have worn it today, dude. I'm telling you. But if you have your poopy suit on, do me a favor before you leave this place today. I want you to unzip it. I just want unzip it. That's all it was. Unzip, arm out, pull it down, step out. And just throw it away. That was the stinkiest, smelliest uniform I had. Just throw it away. Why? Because he's done something in you. This is what, I'll finish with this. Because 12:20? Okay. Sure, 10 minutes. I got this. I'm going to talk really fast, and I'm from Kansas. That's ironic. In Daniel, in chapter 3, verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have need to answer you in this matter. In this the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Sorry, time out. King Nebuchadnezzar built a massive golden image, and everyone had to worship it, okay? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in his high court. They actually spoke into the king's life. This is their response. And he's like, hey, when this happens, you got to bow down. They're like, nah, not so much, guy. It said, in that case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods. We will worship the nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Now, this is a bold statement. These people are high court and position, title, rank, position, name. And the king said, bow down. And they said, nah, I'm good. Now listen, this is a king saying to somebody, you will bow down when this happens. When a king speaks back then specifically, because we got it all screwed up nowadays, but when the king speaks specifically, you listened and you obeyed. That's what you did. And if you didn't, you got met with retribution, whatever it is, and whatever it was, you just, that was it. That's your lot. Have a good day. If it cost you your life, it cost you your life. If it cost you whatever, it cost you whatever. Right? In this case, it meant death. In the fiery furnace. That's why. So they're like, you know what? God's going to deliver us. First off, faith. Is your faith that bold? Just straight up, in your face. God's going to deliver me to the king. You got to be bold to walk this thing out. Because you got to speak to the enemy of your head. My God's delivered me. Have a good day. Get thee behind me, Satan. I ain't got time for you. I don't got time for doubt, confusion, frustration. And when it does arise, I punch it in the face. Why? Because that's the spirit that's in you. That's not my power. That's his power that lives in me. But when they went, this is what I love. They're like, hey, look, he's going to deliver us. But if he doesn't, who cares? Still not bowing. Do you live with that conviction in your heart towards your Father in heaven? Do you live with the conviction that even if he doesn't deliver me out of these terrible circumstances right now, I'm still not going to bow to the enemy of my soul? Who are you? You're a child of God. And when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy your life from eternity, he doesn't come to steal your natural life. He uses your natural life to distract you from the truth. And when you let him, he just robs you blind. But when you stand in the truth, it doesn't matter if I'm saved from the fire or not saved from the fire, I'm going to still worship my God. Later down, they threw him in the fire. What's funny to me is that they used their biggest, strongest men to throw him in the fire, and their biggest, strongest men got consumed by the fire because it was so hot. Then it said, the king answered and said, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How would he know? God can speak to whoever he wants, however he wants. And he will reveal to you in his time what he wishes. Stop trying to force it. God's going to give me the revelation of this. Yeah, he will. When he says you're ready. The question is, did you prepare the soil of your heart with his word to receive when he wants to bring revelation?
And he said, look, I see the fourth man. And then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. So they obeyed. Jesus, God, his word says, come out and come here. Come out of the world and come here. Come out of your depression and come here. Come out of your adultery and come here. Come out of your frustration and come here. Come out of your anger and come here. Here, the house. The body of Christ, the house, the people, the church of the living God. And he said, come here. Do we obey? They didn't even smell like fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar goes, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should serve their own God. Yield their what? Their bodies. Romans said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your acceptable life on this earth is to live for him. And it's going to cost you your already poopy suit life. So it costs you nothing. Unzip it, get it off of you. Depression, go in Jesus' name. Fear, gone. I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. That sounds pretty dang good to me. Sound mind, you know how many nights in my life that I went to bed in my head stuck this way or that way, up or down or left or right or yes or no, which one? And until I met the King of the Most High God, then I had a stable mind. And it didn't come immediately. I remember hours, days, people would drive by. Are you okay? What's going on? I'm just, oh, you're stuck in your head. Get out. Men like him and men like him and men like Vaughn and Gary Whitaker and others in this house. Pops, I remember the day you said you'd give me your rock if I needed to borrow one. Bless my life to this day. I love you. And I thank you. And though I never came to your rock, you know what I did do? I realized that through you, God spoke and said, there's a rock that I've got with your name on it. Get rid of your name. He's going to give you a new one on a stone. Get rid of your worldly identity because he gave you a new identity in Christ Jesus. Get rid of your position because it means nothing. Your position is at the throne of the Most High God who's given you life and life more abundantly. I get all fired up. I'm sorry, not. God is good. He loves you. He's never going to stop pursuing you, so stop running from him. Just run right at him. Give him all you've got. You're acceptable, reasonable service. It's to literally throw yourself on the floor and lay prostrate before him and say, God, use me, have me, abuse me, whatever you want. I'm yours because you made me. That's what he does. So whose image do you want to look like? Someone laying on the floor that looks crazy, that's crying out to God? Or something that I'm dignified? Look at the way I dress. Look at my job. Look at my house. Look at my stuff. Look at my kids. They're all relatively okay. But every night I seem to go to bed afraid of making the wrong choice. You know, in that moment, you're the most undignified person on earth because you're exposed in your weakness. But what we would call weak, he calls strong. What we would call in need of, he calls full of. And when he's on your boat in the middle of the storm, what are you paying attention to? Personally, I challenge you, go to sleep. Go to sleep. Ooh, what's going to happen? You wake up still alive, or do you wake up in his presence because you died? That's living in the Spirit, folks. That's walking this thing out for His glory in the Spirit of God, because He just puts it in you to lead you and guide you by the steps of a righteous man or ordered by the Lord, which means I can't screw it up if I try. The only way I screw it up is if I refuse to repent because I'm too prideful to think I know better than Him. I got to close this thing down. I was given a time frame for a second service. I have 5 minutes. Woo-hoo, He gave me more time. I'm just saying, come on, can I be honest with you guys real quick? What is life void of God? It's nothing. You go to bed frustrated, you wake up frustrated. You go to bed not wanting to deal with the stuff you dealt with in the day, and you wake up afraid of the day in front of you. Who is that? Someone in here is afraid of the day in front of them before it even began. Is God not big enough for you? Because the God I met, the God I know, He frees you of that. You're not bound by that. You get to go along life like this, like, doo-doo. Why? Because it's fun, it's free, it's life, it's joy, it's laughter. Is there every moment perfect? No, but if you position your heart in the Spirit towards Him, you'll always be full. A river that never runs dry. Hello, I'm thirsty, give me something to drink. Okay, here you go. I'm never going to stop turning it up. And when we go, that's what I want to do. That's what our heart is. When we go, that's what we bring. When you go, that's what you bring. I ain't no different than you. I look the same as you. Hello, hello. Do you not see my brother? Look at this. Both created him in the image of the Most High God. There ain't no difference. I'm maybe 6 foot taller than him, but that's all good. He's a giant in the Spirit. Don't even worry about it. That's life. That's having fun. That's getting out of yourself and getting into Him. That's knowing that you're free. Freedom isn't I live in a free country. Freedom isn't the right to get to vote. Freedom is a position of your heart before the Father, not bound by the earth, so that you can be free to love everybody around you no matter what they do to you. You want to set someone free and you want to be free? Love somebody next to you that you don't want to love. Forgive someone you don't want to forgive. Get rid of bitterness in your heart. You want to be free, you want to set someone free, give them love. The love of God that consumes everything. Our God's love is a consuming fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't burn up because they're already consumed. Burn everything. My reasonable service is to burn this flesh off me, Lord, so that your glory may be seen in this mortal body, so that I may live unto you. That's what they did. And they said, even if He doesn't deliver me from that fire, I still ain't bound to this world. So I charge you, church. Usually I leave and I'll pray for you, but I charge you today. This is home to me. This is my home. This is where I'm born again. This is where I'm filled with the Spirit. In that very cafe down there. This is home to me. So I charge you. Come out of the fire. You're not going to be burnt. You're not going to smell funny. You're going to be His image. You're going to begin to actually look like Him. That's what He asked you to do. Look like me. I'm going to look like the Father so that you can be in me, so that you can also look like the Father, and then you can be good. Full of life. Never running dry. Always good. That's life. He's saying, came to set the captives free, folks. So if you're feeling captive, let me introduce you to my God. I'll get my hands laid on you. You'll be all messed up then. We'll have a good day. I'm just saying, I charge you, brethren, count it all joy for the rest of your life to live completely abandoned to God. It's the best life there is. I'm going to tell you, and I will pray. I'm at 5 minutes. You said 6 at the end, so. I couldn't try to imagine my life where it is today. Years ago, I couldn't imagine it. I have a hard time grasping the reality of it. We're about to leave, and God blew the door open for us to minister in England. I've never been in England in my life. It is the most free I've ever felt, the most peaceful I've ever felt, is just to, and it didn't start there, it started long ago, but to live a life abandoned to God in Christ Jesus. Pick up his word and just receive it. Right now, let's close our eyes. I just ask everyone to close their eyes right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just ask right now for this house that your spirit pour out afresh on everybody. And for those who haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, I just pray it upon them right now in Jesus' name. Release their heavenly language. Release a newness in being led of the Spirit. Hand in hand, immersed. Baptism means totally submerged, Lord, to be immersed in your Holy Spirit. And Father, I just pray, I speak to those who did come in here with fear. There's one of you still hanging on to it. Be gone in Jesus' name. Has no place in you. Come out of the fire. The draw to addiction, be gone in Jesus' name. The complaint of pain, be gone in Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray that every person, man, woman, and child in this house know you more. Know your presence more, but know you more. Father, I just pray for a beach day in the Spirit for everyone here where they can just bask in your presence and bask in your warmth and bask in the sun. And Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be amongst your children. What a blessing, what a privilege is, and an honor. It's humbling, Father, to be in this, just all these amazing people. God, I just pray that you touch each and every life, Father. Bless them with a blessing that they don't expect. For those who've been asking about something, honor the request, Father God. Even the woman that went to the judge, even the woman at the crumbs of the table, Father, just honor in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that your will be done in all lives. Your will above our own. Father, those of us who need it, help us get out of our poopy suit and throw it in the trash. That we may stand in the glory of the Spirit. That we may stand in the glory of your Son. Yeah. That's all right. Woo! That's a good noise. Jesus. Jesus. God, I pray that this day and every day, your name be glorified amongst all the body of Christ. That there's no more division. But a coming together, a glue effect. That you can't tell where one member ends and the next begins. Your body, the body of Christ. God be glorified. Bless this house. Before we leave, Father, bless this house. Bless all the pastors in this house. Bless the head. Bless Josh and Elaine. Bless your body. Bless this house. Bless the Lord with a blessing that can only come from heaven. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. That every day would be a new day in this place. That every moment would be a new moment of glory in this place. Father, that it wouldn't be anymore or ever again anything of natural, Father, but nothing but supernatural in you. In Jesus' name, Father. Pray supernatural wisdom over Josh and Elaine that they know how to make every decision. Father, I pray for spiritual prayer warriors to rise up in this church to back them and to protect them, Father. I pray for open doors for everybody, Father, to preach the gospel, to minister to one another, Father, but to minister to the city around them. Father, I pray that this house would be a house, a city set on a hill with its light to be seen by men. In Jesus' name. God, you're just so good. You're just so good. Shekinah. Father, I just see you ministering to your sons and your daughters now. And I pray, God, that we never, even though we may move physical location, we never, never, never lose the location of your presence. Throw us into the fire, God. A king already called us out. Your son. And at the every name, the name above all other names, in Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen.